join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is No More Trauma by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
All right, let's get to the word. I'm excited today. I'm excited about going further here because we've been teaching, I don't know, this is part three, part four of No More Trauma as a result of all the things we've been seeing. And then we continue to see. I mean, the day of the Chauvin verdict, that day, the young lady, the 15, 16-year-old lady got killed by the police, which was a very, I can't even pass judgment on that situation. I just wish it didn't turn out that way. Thing happened so fast and within seconds. And then we got the case in North Carolina going on right now that they're just trying to seep out, not letting people really see what happened. All I know is that a man got shot in the back of his head while he was trying to get away from the police. Okay. And I don't understand that. Because even back in Western days, they said you would go to jail or you get hung for shooting somebody in the back. And so these things and various things continue to traumatize us. You know, I'm staying in faith and I'm believing, but I honestly, you know, Pastor Marsh and I, as pastors yesterday, we dealt and comforted several people in our church who going through things of death in their family, some tragically, and some things that look like hope deferred. And even I woke up this morning, I told Pastor Mars, I said, I'm surprised he even slept. I slept. I know I did sleep, but throughout the night, these people and these things were on my mind. And so many things are happening. And Psalms 137, 1 through 5 tells the story of the children of Israel saying, remembering while they were in Babylon in exile. It says, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, Psalm 137, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song, tried to give us to sing in the midst of this horrible situation, in the midst of being oppressed. How can we sing? And they wasted us. They that wasted us, those that oppressed us, took advantage of us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The question is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We've been traumatized. How are we going to keep on singing? How are we going to keep on rejoicing? How are we going to keep on praising? Then, but I tying in with this Psalm 66 and 12. It says, thou hast caused men to rot over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. That scripture says that from the New Living, then you put a leader over us. Thank God for leadership. Amen. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood. That's traumatic. We went through fire. Fire is traumatic. Flood is traumatic. But watch this. But you brought us out to a wealthy place. And if I didn't state this already, my objective for teaching this series is to recognize, to identify, and to empathize with trauma, but to get us to move beyond it. We do not want to get stuck in our trauma. I stated this another way. We don't want to be traumatized by our trauma. You can have gone through a traumatic event, but yet by the Spirit of God, not be traumatized. So I gave you the definition from Psychology Today, which says that trauma is a person's emotional response to a distressing experience. And we saw a few people go through life without experiencing some type of experience that is distressing. We looked at the types of trauma, acute trauma, from immediate aftermath of something. My spiritual son, Pastor Lenny Gaines, and you know, usually when something happens, he'll text me or immediately, usually when something happens. Come on. That's what children do with their parents, right? So he texted me. He said, "Papa, I'm just in an accident. I think I may have broke my foot." And it turned out he does have a small fracture. But when he's on Facebook, look at his car, and his car's all tore up. But thank God, all he got is a little minor fracture on his foot that's going to heal. Come on, we give God praise. That's a traumatic experience that could have been more traumatizing. Okay, the acute trauma, chronic trauma, something that you go through repeatedly for years. Okay, complex trauma from several things, multiple traumatic events that happen within a range of time. And then secondary vicarious trauma that we have continued to see as a result of when we're watching the George Floyd trial. I watched an interview this morning with one of the jurors. I happened to be an African-American young man. I believe his name was Wayne. And Gail King asked him, said, what was it like? He said, "What was it like being a juror at that trial?" And he said, "The first thing we did when we went in the jury room, he said, we had to take off our masks." He said, "And we just had to breathe from the stress of this whole thing." And Gail King, she said, "What was the most stressful thing about being on that jury?" Listen to what he said. He said, "The most stressful thing about being on that jury was watching a man get killed every day. Watching a man die every day, because, you know, every day they were showing to the trial. Every day they were going back to him." He said, "To sit there for every day of that trial and watch a man die every day." He said, "Being human," he said, "you can't help but be affected by that." That's secondary and vicarious trauma. And then Oprah now has a new book dealing with ACE, which is adverse childhood experiences, which they say when you see someone and how they are, and sometimes people are mean and nasty and ornery or irritable. And sometimes first question we want to ask people, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" And they said, the better question we need to ask is, "What happened to you? What happened to you that made you so angry? What happened to you that made you so bitter? What happened to you that made you like this?" That's ACE, adverse childhood experiences. But watch this. I'm still dealing with the definition of trauma. Trauma, anything that has changed your view of God, yourself, or others for the worse. I got that from a friend of ours, Dr. Nita Phillips. I got that definition from her. Anything that has changed your view of God, yourself, or others for the worse. So trauma shifts the way your reality, cause you to think things that may or may not be true. Often you get reminded of it from many times non-related things. Cause you not be able to enjoy your life, enjoy your wife, enjoy your children, enjoy your car, enjoy riding down the road, enjoy sitting in the park. Can I honestly tell you all this? Now, I grew up literally right next to New York City, but look, you can grow up in New Jersey, you ran across and never really go in New York City. So I didn't spend a lot of time in Central Park. Everyone, you know, for those who don't know, New York is divided. People talk about north, south, east, and west. Well, all that's based upon the park. So when you hear the west part of the city, upper east side, lower west side, all that's based upon the park. The park is the central place. Central Park is the central place of New York City. And when you hear people describe the parts or the direction of New York City, it's surrounding the park. And I have to honestly tell you this. So Pastor Marshall and I were in New York City last week, and we got up at least three times and walked through Central Park, which is really, the weather was nice. It was a beautiful experience. I have to honestly say, I kept thinking back in my head about what was known as the Central Park Five, the young men who were accused of raping and battering a woman, which turned out not to be true, even though our former president Trump, who wasn't in office then, but put up money to prosecute him and saying all kinds of things, didn't know the fact. The people, even the prosecutors, ended up having to resign and all that because they pushed those charges on those young men and ruined their lives, which was recently settled in recent years. But I have to honestly tell you, as we were walking through Central Park, I kept thinking about that woman and her experience in Central Park. Okay, I didn't go through that. I'm not even a white woman. Okay, but I kept thinking about that. That's vicarious trauma. The fact that that would even be triggered just by walk. It was beautiful. See, but everybody in New York got dogs. Okay, for all of you afraid of dogs, don't walk through Central Park. Everybody got dogs. I probably saw more dogs than people. I literally did. We saw two guys walking dogs, and each one of them had about 15 dogs. They were walking. They probably dog walkers. Okay. But that triggered something. Sometimes you're going through things, you're getting triggered, and it wasn't even your experience. Okay. But let me move on here because let me see. There's a definition of trauma that the Lord just gave me. Let me see, where did I put in my notes here to say it? All right, well, I'm sure I'll get to it. So it's a matter of how you respond to your trauma. All of us going through something, you can either make you bitter, make you better, bring you down, drive you up, make you fail, or make you succeed. And so we gave you some steps to start moving past trauma. Number one, we said, know that God sees your trauma. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Number two, we said, don't blame God for your trauma. Job went through all kinds of trauma. And in all these things, he didn't charge God falsely. Number three, we said, take your fears to the Lord because trauma causes fears. We can't get around that. Trauma causes fear. You got to take all those fears to the Lord, okay? But let's go a little bit further today because I really want to go further to talk about moving past trauma, okay? And we said last week to move past trauma, you got to look to your future more than your past. Paul talks about all the things that he's gone through in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, all the trauma, all the traumatic experiences that he went through. But then later on, he says, but none of these things move me. And I'm going to finish my course with joy because he recognized that all the things that you've gone through are a distraction of the devil to make you give up on destiny. The devil's trying to bruise your heel, but you got to bruise his head. Come on. When he comes to you to try to bruise your heel, you got to take that foot and crush his head. We have to make up our minds. We're going to keep looking to our future despite our past. Despite our past. Number five, I want to spend some time here, and I might just get stuck here. To moving past your trauma, you got to thank God that you got out. Somebody put that in the chat. Thank God that I got out. Come on. Some of you went through abuse, but thank God you got out. Some of you were in domestic violent relationships. Thank God you got out. Some of you were in a horrific marriage. Maybe that the Lord told you never should have went in anyway, but that didn't change the fact. But thank God that you got out. Some of you were in a car accident that you could have got stuck in and died in, but thank God that you got out. Some of you were in a vehicle that flipped over and over, but thank God that you got out. Come on, somebody, thank God that I got out. You were in a bad situation in school, bad situation in college. You lived in a project like I did, but thank God that you got out. Come on, you're going to move past your trauma. You're going to have to let a praise and a thanksgiving rise up in you. Thank God that you got out. Amen. Come on, thank God. Thank God that I got out. Thank God that I got out. Thank God I was bruised, but thank God I got out. And so to move past your trauma, you got to thank God that you got out. Now watch this. Now the Lord showed me this here. Depending on your paradigm and depending on your perspective, going through the Red Sea was triumphant and traumatic. Now everything we see in the scriptures, because it describes it as triumphant. But I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about a sea, and we've never seen anything like this in the natural, a sea being rolled as a scroll and it's not like rolled the size of a man. This sea most likely is rolled back, looking like a walled skyscraper beside them, but the water is rolling, it's just held back. So the water is still there. And Moses tells the people, go forward. So while they're going forward, now come on, nobody's been through anything like this before. Okay, now, most likely, as they're going forward, water may still be splashing on them. It's just not drowning them. Water still may be coming in their face. They may even still be getting wet. But the water's held back. Now, I don't care what y'all say. Yes, this it's victorious. It's triumphant. But going through that in the meantime, until you're on the other side of that thing, is traumatic. Okay. I can honestly tell y'all, ain't no way I would have been walking. There's no way I would have been walking through the Red Sea saying, wow, look at that. Is that a whale for that water? I would have been running to get to the other side of that sea. So watch this. Sometimes you go through trauma until you get through it. Sometimes it's traumatic until you get to your place of victory. But the children of Israel, because we're always reading the testimony about it post Red Sea experience, it's celebrated in the scriptures. It's celebrated as God's most triumphant demonstration of his power to the children of Israel. So let's pick up here in Exodus 15. They've come across the Red Sea. They're all out now. They're all over. And as soon as the last one of the children of Israel gets up the banks and on the other side of the Red Sea, the waters now that they just gone through are now released by God into the sea. And it drowns all the Egyptians, all their horses, all their chariots, all their weaponry, all their armory. Exodus 15 and 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. Oh, some of y'all, that was the first rap. That was the first bars right there. Lord, Moses had bars, y'all. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. You better say that, Moses. Drop down to verse 4 says, Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Drop down to verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Glory to God. Then Miriam, this is Moses singing. Moses is singing a spiritual song, singing out of his heart, rejoicing that the trauma they just went through has now become triumphant. Glory to God. God's going to turn your trauma into triumph. Somebody put that in the chat. God's going to turn your trauma into triumph. From trauma to triumph. Glory to God. And then so after Moses sings it, Miriam now picks it up and she gets what we now know as a tambourine. The timbrel, Exodus 15, verse 20, and Miriam and the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel, a tambourine, in her hand. Glory to God. Like a good old sanctified mother in a storefront church. Y'all don't know nothing about that. She took that tambourine and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dances. Verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord. She took Moses' spiritual song and now they started adding some bars and some harmony to it. And Miriam answered, sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. What I want you to see here is that when they look back on this, they could focus more on the trauma of, oh my God, my God. They could focus more on the trauma of being pursued by an army, by the world's mightiest army at that time, because they had chariots. All the other countries got their chariots from Egypt. They made alliances with Egypt because Egypt had chariots. Chariots in that day were synonymous with nuclear weapons of today. It was the mightiest and strongest army, and they are being chased by them. They hear the hoofs of the horses. They hear the ching ching of horses and chariots coming at them, and that's traumatic. They're facing a Red Sea. They got mountains on the side of them, and then the God that they serve holds back the water like a skyscraper scroll beside it, and says, "Walk on through it." That is traumatic, but they got to the other side. And when they got on the other side, they didn't focus on the trauma of being pursued. They focused on the triumph of getting out. Glory to God. They did not focus on the trauma of the Red Sea, that the water could have come down on them. They focused on the triumph that God, what could have come down on them, God held it back. Somebody give God some praise that he held it back. Man, now preach right there all by itself. God held it back. I never thought about that before. Okay, somebody going to take that and preach it. The Red Sea. God rolled it up and it held it back. What could have drowned them? God held it back. Anybody got any testimony of something that God held back? He held it back. Oh, come on. Most of us, many of y'all, you anti-vaxxers and you anti-maxxers, maskers. Okay. I don't need no mask. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need to take no elderberry. Okay. No, listen, if this ain't cause you so good, it's cause God held it back. If you didn't get coronavirus and don't have it, it's cause God held it back. It's a pandemic, meaning it's been literally everywhere. And just when we think it's over, it's popping up in another country, a new strand. Come on. But the reason why we're still here is because God held it back. God held it back. That what the enemy meant for our evil, God's worked it into our testimony. God held it back. I know y'all, I'm supposed to be teaching here today, but I told you I was excited as I started preparing for today. And Lord started giving me more revelation about going through trauma. You ought to rejoice that your trauma is now triumph because God held it back. So watch this. The Egyptians went under, but the children of Israel came through. Many of us have a testimony, glory to God, that the trauma that took somebody else under, God took us through. What took them under, God took us through. What defeated them gave us a testimony. What drowned them, we swam through. Or God gave us a boat to get out. Or he just miraculously delivered. Somebody threw out a lifeline. So the Egyptians went under, but the children of Israel came through. Somebody put in the chat, I've come through. I keep quoting it. I've been quoting it over this anniversary. That's the song of Amazing Grace, the verse, I believe it's verse 2. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. It was grace that brought me safe this far. And his grace is going to lead me on. So you can focus on your trauma or you can focus on your triumph. The Egyptians went under, but the children of Israel came through. Look what Hebrews 11:29 says about that. Hebrews 11:29 says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Oh, no, I never thought about this. This included in the Hall of Faith. This included in all the things that is listed that God accomplished because people had faith. That tells me faith, in order to get through this, it took faith to say, okay, I believe because God said we're supposed to walk on through this, even though it looks scary, even though it looks like this water, there's no such thing as water being held back like a scroll. I mean, come on, this could just be a figment of my imagination. It took faith to walk through that. And I actually meant to do some studies. Okay, I'm assigned some scholars here. Somebody try to research for me how wide the Red Sea is or was. Okay, because this wasn't, I don't believe for those of us here in Columbia, South Carolina, there's a dam here that some of our members and people walk across. The dam's about 2 or 3 miles one way. A lot of people, they walk across the dam and then they walk back. I told Pastor Mars, I said, I'll walk it. I said, but I need you to drive the car, bring it to the other side. Because once you go on the one side, you're committed. You got to get back to your car. I said, I'll walk one way. I said, then bring the car. I don't know how long the Red Sea was. Somebody, okay. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Wright. 100. Oh, my God. I wasn't expecting that. 190 miles wide. Okay. Now I'm assuming we're talking about width here. Okay. Because that's, they had to walk across the Red Sea. And if the Red Sea, somebody else saw 221 miles. So, okay, let's just average 200 miles. You walk 200. So that tells me it did. Oh my God. It didn't happen in an hour. It didn't happen in a day. It may have taken several days. I don't know. And they had all these cattle and livestock and their goods. Okay. And it took all this time while they're still believing. I know I heard God. Come on. You ever been doing something and it doesn't turn around as quick as you want it to turn around? You got, oh no, but I believe God's told me to do this. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land.
Trauma can either make you bitter or make you better. Trauma can bring you down or drive you up. Some type of way, we have to take the trauma we've been through and say, God is still with me. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to overcome the trials and trauma we've faced and proclaim that if God is for me, who can be against me? To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.